From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The owners of a Canadian facility where thousands of Atlantic salmon escaped following a fire say it's likely predators ate most of the fish. Coast Alaska reported earlier this week that Mowi Canada West has downplayed threats to wild salmon stocks because of the number of sea lions feeding on the 21,000 non-native salmon held in pens. The company's fish farm north of Vancouver Island caught fire on December 20th. Fish farming is outlawed by Alaska, while Washington State has passed a law ordering the state's salmon farms to shut down by 2022. In Washington, D.C., the big push to tackle global warming has come from Democrats, some of whom want a package of reforms called the Green New Deal. Republicans have strongly critiqued the proposal without offering many ideas of their own, but earlier this month, a new GOP group launched to push its own carbon emissions reduction idea, and it has an Alaska connection. Kira O'Brien of Ketchikan is a senior at Harvard University, and she's leading Young Conservatives for Carbon Dividends. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk caught her while she was at home for winter break, and she started by talking about how she became interested in environmental issues.
Yeah, I mean, growing up here, we hunt, we fish, so we very much are outdoor people, spending our time like communing with nature. But then you go to the East Coast, and a lot of people seem to think that like hiking is in the quote-unquote mountains there. They don't really do much outside, let alone subsistence lifestyle kind of things. So really just like talking to people there really kind of shaped my perception of how Alaskans need to have a voice in the national climate conversation, environmental conversation, land management in general.
Can you describe the specific proposal that you guys are advocating for?
So the Baker-Schultz carbon dividends framework has four pillars. It's the revenue neutral price on carbon applied upstream at the source of heavy carbon production. So that's mostly your manufacturers of energy. And then the money that is raised from that is rebated back to the public as a dividend check so as to not grow the size of government. And that's paired with a regulatory streamlining, since the price on carbon would induce businesses to reduce their carbon emissions. A lot of regulations would no longer be necessary on carbon specifically, and then a border carbon adjustment to keep American businesses competitive abroad. And those are the pillars. It's backed by a lot of oil companies, heavy energy manufacturers, and environmental organizations. It's a very interesting coalition of folks who have all come together to say that this issue is important and that they need to put aside their differences and do what's best for the country. And so that's the broad overview of what we support. There isn't bill text yet. We're hoping for introduction soon.
You know, it's sort of a tax that you're putting on people that are producing carbon or carbon emissions, and the money raised by that tax ends up getting sent back by the government to residents, sort of like your permanent fund dividend?
Yeah. Sort of like the permanent fund dividend. Two caveats on that, though. Since the money is fully rebated, we would say that that's not actually a tax, especially because under Treasury modeling, 70% of the American public would be financially better off than they would be without this carbon price. The second point being, this price is what businesses are asking for. It's the business-friendly solution because the companies that are manufacturing our energy in this country are asking for this carbon price.
Our state's economy, the foundation of it is oil production. I assume that there would be a pretty significant impact on that segment of our economy.
Well, actually, a lot of the producers in Alaska are in favor of this plan, the primary one being ConocoPhillips. They're one of the biggest advocates for this plan. For them, it's in their best interest to have a revenue-neutral price on carbon applied upstream at the source that rises gradually and consistently that they can build into their R&D model. It's a free market solution that they're able to anticipate what's coming next. They're able to adapt as things come at them.
Climate policy is not something that the Republican Party has been known for. You know, why is this something that young Republicans seem to be getting some momentum around?
I would push back on that just a little bit. I would say that climate policy is not something that the Republican Party has been known for the past 30 years. You go back to Teddy Roosevelt, George H.W. Bush, presidents with phenomenal environmental records who've done great work on stewardship and conservation. I would say that climate is a conservation issue at its core. The Republican Party has a tremendous past leadership record on conservation issues. young Republicans, when you look at polling, are at parity with Democrats when it comes to belief that the climate is changing and something should be done. And so I think what you're seeing right now is a lot of Republicans who are no longer content with the Republican Party's new position from the past 30 years of let's just pretend there's not a problem and see what happens. Because, frankly, we as young Americans saw what happened with healthcare, where we had a Republican Party that just said, we don't have a plan. We're not offering up a plan. Let's see what happens. And so that's what you're seeing now is we are young Republicans that are no longer content with no answer as a response from the Republican Party when it comes to climate, because we've seen the rise of the Green New Deal and things like that that we're not content with.
Kira O'Brien, thanks for taking the time to come on and chat with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
A new federal law is set to increase the national age limit for tobacco and e-cigarette purchases to 21. That will require Alaska to meet a standard that's already been established in Anchorage. Anchorage Daily News reported Alaska state law currently allows anyone 19 and older to buy tobacco. Anchorage took legal steps 4 months ago to raise the age limit. The federal law will force the remainder of the state to update by late 2020. An official says the state will deliver a public awareness campaign that includes retailer education and a review of necessary legal changes. And unsafe conditions have prompted the closure of a 25-mile stretch of the Richardson Highway until at least 8 a.m. Saturday. The state transportation official said several snowslides, high winds, drifting snow, and poor visibility led to the closure of the highway Thursday morning near Paxson. Department of Transportation spokeswoman Caitlin Fry said visibility was so bad that equipment operators were unable to see the end of their vehicles. Flooding from Willow Creek in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough continues to make problems for local residents and emergency responders. Since the weekend, an ice jam in the creek has caused unusual winter flooding, damaging nearby homes and property and rendering the Deneki Road impassable. The closure leaves residents almost totally cut off. As local officials try to find a solution, they are contending with cold, snowy weather and rapidly changing conditions. Ken Barkley directs emergency services for the borough. He said on Thursday that responders discovered they can no longer access the staging areas they were using before.
The ice jam around the vehicles that were stuck has expanded to where it's limiting our access in and out right now. So we're having trouble getting in there.
Dramatic video footage the Matsu Borough released earlier in the week shows roads flooded with thigh-high, ice-choked water as responders evacuated sled dogs on inflatable rafts. Many residents opted to stay in their homes rather than evacuate, but temporarily left the area with emergency officials to stock up on food, fuel, and supplies. Unsuccessful attempts to cross the flooded area has led to rescues and abandoned vehicles. Borough managers say an unknown individual tried to clear the road on his or her own. That, Barkley says, actually made the situation worse.
It created more problems because it put berms on each side of the road, which is now holding the water in. So now the water level is much deeper than what it was.
Officials are asking the public not to perform any work on the Deneki Road. Barkley says there are approximately 31 homes in the affected area, some of which are seasonal. He says the borough believes there are 16 occupied houses. Matanuska-Susitna Borough Mayor Vern Halter issued a local disaster declaration and is asking the state for help. On Thursday, local, state, and federal groups, including the National Guard and private engineering contractors, met to develop short and long-term plans for the flooding. The U.S. Coast Guard says a seaman will face a court-martial on murder and other charges in the death of a fellow seaman during a night of drinking in Alaska. Ethan Tucker is charged with the January death of 19-year-old seaman Ethan Kelch of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Military prosecutors allege the 21-year-old Tucker of Ludington, Michigan, beat Kelch and left him in frigid water where he drowned. During an October hearing, a lawyer for Tucker said a bystander took video that night showing Tucker's efforts to get Kelch out of the water. The lawyer said he is confident his client will be vindicated. Oil company BP announced last week that roughly half of its nearly 1,600 employees have accepted jobs with Hilcorp, a smaller private company that's planning to buy BP's entire Alaska business. But that leaves hundreds of other workers who won't be working for Hilcorp and who could leave the state entirely. Tegan Hanlon with Alaska's Energy Desk talked to people who watch the state's economy about what that could mean for Alaska.
Musin Gatabi is an economist at the University of Alaska Anchorage who's been watching closely as BP prepares to exit Alaska in one of the state's biggest oil industry deals. More than 500 jobs are expected to be shed in three waves starting in February. Gatabi says that will be significant but not devastating for the state's fragile economy.
there is enough happening from a lot of different sectors to where this is not disastrous by any stretch.
Earlier this year, BP announced plans to sell all of its Alaska assets to the oil company Hilcorp for $5.6 billion. Regulators still need to approve that sale. In the meantime, Hilcorp's future workforce is already taking shape, and it appears there will be fewer workers in Anchorage and Prudhoe Bay in 2020. Gitabi says that could erase the modest job growth Alaska's oil and gas sector has seen over the past year.
Oil and gas in 2019 has averaged about 500 more jobs than it did in 2018. And so if you were to take those 500 jobs away, then it would basically wipe out most of the sector-specific growth.
Economists say the impacts will likely be felt most in Anchorage. Other businesses will also likely feel the loss of the high-paying oil jobs, Gitabi says.
The loss of that income is not just the loss of the initial jobs, but it's potentially ripple effects from those people selling their homes or no longer going out or no longer spending money in stores. And so one could expect ramifications from those initial losses.
Nobody knows for sure exactly how many laid-off BP employees will end up leaving the state. Bill Popp is the president of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. He's hopeful most will decide to stay. He says he's already heard from some BP workers who have found new jobs with other oil companies in Alaska. Popp describes this period in Alaska's oil company landscape as a transition.
It's not the end of the world as we know it.
Popp says he's also waiting to see if Hilcorp decides to hire more employees after the sale goes through. BP and Hilcorp say they'd like the sale to close by summer 2020. The deal includes BP stakes in the Prudhoe Bay oil field and the Trans-Alaska pipeline. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
And finally, Volkswagen is stepping up its electric car production. The German automaker says it will reach its goal of 1 million e-cars a year by the end of 2023. That's 2 years earlier than planned. The announcement today comes as European carmakers get ready to meet tough new limits on emissions of greenhouse gases by 2021. The only way to do that is by selling more battery cars. Volkswagen is getting ready to sell its ID.3 model that it says will find mass appeal thanks to its low price and long range. Here's the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau area. Tonight, rain. Rain may be heavy at times, lows in the mid-30s. Saturday, scattered rain showers, highs around 40. Sunday, rain likely, highs around 40. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, December 27th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.